taken directly from the scriptures, and I won't read all of the scriptures, but we began with Psalms 9, verse 1. Psalms 9, verse 1 in the King James Version of the Bible. It is the same way that our confession of faith begins. And what we say in our confession of faith, or for those of you who may not know what a confession of faith is, it is words that I speak and declare and confess and say on a regular basis to confirm my faith and to build up my faith. Because the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when the scripture tells us to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, the number one way to build yourselves up on your most holy faith is to get in the word of God and pray the word of God. It says building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now listen at this. The Holy Ghost is also called the Holy Spirit, but in this particular context, one of his titles is the Spirit of Truth. So when you build yourself up on your most holy faith, you let the Holy Spirit lead you into praying the word of God. And the scripture says, they that worship him must worship him in and in. They go together. The truth is spirit, and the spirit is the truth. And so you build yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, which is praying, being led by the Holy Spirit. And when you pray and be led by the Holy Spirit, he will pray through you the word of God in English, and many times he'll pray through you the revelations that are in line with the scriptures, but you may speak in an unknown tongue, but it's only unknown to you unless you ask the Lord for a revelation. But that language that you are speaking in, unless somebody else, sometimes you can be speaking in a language that is among the human languages, or you can speak in language that is among the angels, or you can speak in the language of the Spirit. It really doesn't matter. When the Holy Ghost is leading you to pray in tongues, you are praying in a language you may not understand, but God understands every language. He's not bilingual, he's multilingual. He's omnilingual. Are you with me? Omnilingual. Just like he's omnipotent. And so the scripture tells us this is a psalm of David, and look at what he said. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my what? Whole heart. Now what's praising him with your whole heart? How do you praise him with your whole heart? That means that when you praise him, you're not praising him with a divided heart. When you're praising him, there is nothing and nobody else on your mind. Hello? And even though the enemy can try to come and mess with you, when you are praising him with your whole heart, you know how to do just like that old goat that fell into that well, and in order for the farmer, the owner, to get him out of there, they would throw dirt in the old well, and the goat would just pack it under his feet. When you are praising the Lord with your whole heart and the enemy try to bring thoughts in your mind, you do what the scripture says. You cast down every evil imagination that tries to exalt itself against what? The knowledge of God. Because you can try to praise the Lord and the devil will say, look, somebody looking at you. Shut up, I ain't got time to hear from you. Satan, the Lord rebuke you and keep on praising him. In this faith walk, brothers and sisters, you have to understand the just does not and do not live by feelings. We live by the knowledge of God. Faith in the knowledge of God. We live by faith in the knowledge of God. So, there are many times you have to move in faith and the knowledge will catch up. Meaning, or let me say it like this. If you operate in faith, which is the knowledge of the Word of God, you have to move in faith based on what you know. And let me say it like this. Then the feelings catch up. That's why sometimes you can begin to worship and you feel nothing. Then why worship? Why praise him? Because the Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And you've already confessed many times before, I will bless the Lord, which is another form of praising. I will bless the Lord at, and his praise shall be in my mouth. What about when things are not going well? Honey, we might as well get it. When things don't go well, you don't feel well. But when you come to the house of worship, many times you have to come by faith. You come into the house of prayer by faith. You come into the house of worship by faith. What? It's based on the knowledge of God. And you operate based on what you know that God wants you to do. And you know that following Jesus, if you follow Jesus and you look in his word and follow him, you're going to attend church. Because he attended church. He went to worship. And it's, and we think it's hard. Oh, come Lord, we're having a Sunday service, and then we're having an evening program, and Wednesday night, we having a revival, and you complain. And the scripture says Jesus went to the temple daily as was his custom, his habit. It was his practice. And he did it on a regular basis. So this scripture says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. The scripture says, God says, I will that men lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. That means when I praise him and I lift up my holy hands, I ain't mad at nobody. I've forgiven everybody. No matter what they've done to me, I ain't mad at nobody. You see, you can't lift up holy hands still being mad at somebody. You can't lift up holy hands holding a grudge because it says without wrath, anger. The Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath, your anger. You should have dealt with that before you went to bed last night. How dare you get up in the morning and you still got that thing and you go. You cannot in all truality lift up holy hands until you've forgiven everybody of their trespasses, just like you ask him to forgive you of your trespasses. And when you praise him with your whole heart, you praise him even though you don't feel anything. But you come in, you came to church by faith, feeling bad, that's all right. I'm going anyway. And you say like they said in that song, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Yeah, you see, you have to confess the word of God even though you don't feel it, you don't see it, I confess what he said because I believe what he said. And I try to do what he tells me to do. And the scripture says he inhabits the praises of his people. Then I think I'm going to go praise. Because that means you draw close to him and he'll draw close to you. And even though you come to church and you don't feel anything and the devil is talking noise. Anybody ever lifted your hands and you felt nothing, but you kept lifting them and you kept on clapping? And before you know it, your feelings caught up with your faith. Your feelings caught up with your faith. And that's, listen, the Holy Ghost, that's, listen, I tell people, the Holy Ghost don't make you shout. What happens is you sense his presence and your feelings catch up with your faith and you'll go, hey, hey. You will just you're just praising him and just going through the motions, but hey, your feelings, your emotions caught up with your faith. So it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. How do you show forth? You put them on display. You lift your hands and put on display his marvelous works. Didn't the scripture say we were fearfully and wonderfully made? When you lift up your hands and you praise him and you bless him, you are showing forth his marvelous works. And then we give what is called testimonies. I will show forth and tell aloud. Let's go to the confession of faith, Sister Christian. I will show forth and tell aloud all his marvelous works. Let the redeemed of the Lord what? Say so. The next part of our confession of faith. We will rejoice in Jesus. That says in Jesus, that's because we're in Jesus. And we're going to rejoice about him and about what he is and about what he can do, even though I may be lacking in some kind of area. I don't come in here and rejoice in Steve. That would be nothing to rejoice about. I rejoice in Jesus and be in high spirits. Are you hearing this? What we have to understand, some of the practices that we did when we were in the world, really, that's the way we ought to do it in the church. You go to a party, and for the most part, you kind of sitting there until you hear your groove. And a party just ain't quite a party when you got to do it by yourself. So you say, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. We will rejoice in Jesus and be in high spirits. So sometimes you can be sitting there and you're going on, you're going through the motions, and then they fool around and sing your song. Ain't nothing wrong with that. If that song is resonating in your spirit, don't you let the devil steal you from it, talking about, oh, they gonna think this, and they gonna think you a holy roller, and they gonna think you, then he'll tell you what you did last night. You have to learn to confess your faith, and you have to learn to talk back to that devil and put him in his place. Resist the devil, and he will, Satan the Lord rebuke you. What's the best way to make the devil flee? How do you resist him? It's to obey God. Don't do what he say, but obey God. And that's your resisting him, because he's always telling you to do the wrong thing. And you resist him. You say, you know what? Talk to the hand, because I'm doing what God tell me to do. He has to get out of here. We will rejoice in Jesus and be in high spirits. We will sing praises to his name. You know the scripture tells us in Colossians that we are to admonish one another in hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. Again, it's hymns, psalms, the book of Psalms. Those are songs. Hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. We will sing praises to his name. The next part says this. This is what we confess. The Lord will, not perfect, but perfect. Meaning the Lord will bring to pass. The Lord will complete that which concerns me. That's why the scripture says we are to be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I'm to make my request known unto God. I'm to bring it to the altar. I'm to leave it there. And it says the Lord will work out. The Lord will work out that which has me concerned. That's just the way the Father is. The Lord will perfect. He'll bring to pass that which concerns me. If it's a concern of mine, it's a concern of my Father. Amen? If it's bothering me, it's a concern of my Father. And he takes it personally. Everything. And then he will come and he will move in my midst. The Lord will perfect that which concerns us. Now you have, only you can testify and say, has the Lord ever worked out? Have you ever had some situations and the Lord perfected it? He brought it out all right. He brought it to completion. He brought it to pass. He perfected that which had me concerned. And then it says, this is what we confess. His mercy and loving kindness are with us. Now that's kind of like what you read in the what we read in the end of the Psalms. It says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the what? Days of my life. His mercy and loving kindness are with us. As the scripture says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we have not been what? Consumed, because his compassion, just like a mercy, they fail not, but they are new every morning. His mercy and loving kindness are with us. When are they with us? Always with us. You may go about and doing something wrong, but listen, baby, once you get the Holy Ghost in your life, he has made a promise. He's never going to leave you, and he's going to be right there. Are you with me? His mercy and loving kindness are with us. Next to the next verse. We are his workmanship. That means we are God's masterpiece. Let's go there to Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8, 9, and 10. Ephesians chapter number 2. Sister Christian, you can go there and let's go ahead and go there in the King James Version first. All right, the enemy's messing with our system, but that's all right. Well, you got your Bibles. Somebody got it. There it is. Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace That's unmerited favor. That's unearned, undeserved favor. For by God's grace, that's God's unmerited favor, unearned favor. It's God's divine influence upon your heart. It's God's divine enablement. God, by his grace, comes upon your heart and causes you to want him. God comes upon your heart. The Holy Spirit moves upon your heart and causes you to want him. For by grace are ye saved through faith. So God moves upon your heart. And whenever you see it say by grace, it means that you didn't deserve this. You didn't earn it. If the truth is told, if you really know Jesus, you know you deserve hell. You didn't hear what I said. I said, if you really know Jesus, if you have had a chance to glimpse the Holy God, if you've had a chance to be into the presence of God, one thing that the presence of God will show you is how holy he is and how unholy you are. And you, oh, you didn't hear that. Because the scripture says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. But the first part, if my people which are called by my name shall. If you've never humbled yourself before God, you're not saved. Humble yourself is to recognize how low you are in terms of character and how high he is. And then you not only in your mind and in your spirit, but even in your body, you will bow before him. You humble yourself because you realize I deserve hell, but I'm on my way to heaven because of what God did. See, he gives us mercy and he gives us grace. Mercy is when he withholds what I do deserve. I deserve to be cut down. I deserve hell, but he gave me mercy. He withheld his wrath. But then grace says he gives me what I don't deserve. I deserve hell, and he said, nope, stay your hand. Death angel, stay your hand. This one is mine. I'm giving him mercy, so I'm going to take, not only, I'm not going to give him my wrath, because I'm going to get on that cross. And I'm going to take the wrath of God for him. I'm going to take the wrath of God in her place. Mercy. I'm going to withhold eternal death and hell from them. But then I'm going to give them grace, because I'm going to give them heaven. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And then you say, there it is. I got something. I had faith in God. I had enough sense to have faith in God. But the scripture says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. What, even your faith? Yeah. He gave me grace, and he gives me faith. That's why Hebrews 12 says, look into Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith, our faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the what? Gift of God. It's a gift of God. Not of works are good deeds, unless any man should boast. And verse 10 is our main verse. For we are, see, we took it right out of the scripture. For we are his workmanship. That means God is working on me. He, when I accepted Christ into my life, he began a work in me and working in me in such a way that he's conforming me to the image of Jesus Christ. Again, that part says, in Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Unto good works. Somebody said, does your good work save you? No. But it proves you are saved. Ain't no such thing. Do your good works sanctify you? No. But you ain't sanctified if you ain't got no good works. Because the Holy Spirit is good. And that's all he is good. Love, joy, peace, goodness, faith. He's all those attributes that are good. And if you ain't got any of them, you ain't his. For that's what you were created for. For we are his workmanship. We're his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has ordained all of his people to walk in good works. And we ought to be doing good works all the days of our lives. Look at that verse, Sister Christian, in the New Living Translation. So we can see it in real plain English. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Look at what it says. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And if this ain't plain to you, saints, what does it say? Read it. What's that? Go back. Yes. God saved you by his grace when you believed. For you are saved by grace through faith. And you can't take credit for this. So you can't take credit for this. You can't look at anybody else and look down on them because you did not do this on your own. God did this for you. It was a gift from God. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Next verse. Salvation is not. Oh, come on, read it, saints. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Stop right there. Now, we are going to get some rewards for the good things that we've done when we get to heaven. But your salvation, you don't get to go to heaven. You didn't get your ticket to heaven by doing good. Because if we are honest with ourselves, are you always good? Do you always think good? Is there anybody in here perfect in all your ways? Absolutely perfect. Then you know salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can do what? Boast about it. For we are God's, oh, this sounds even better. Not only are we his workmanship, we are his masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Back to the confession of faith. I won't belabor every point. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works with our what? Steps ordered in his word. He shall not forsake the works of his hands. That's you and I. He will not forsake the works of his hands. The scripture says it just like that. And of course the scripture says he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not forsake the works of his hands. Why does the scripture say that? Because We do good. We do some good things. And we do good for a while. But am I the only one that it can be said that every time I desire to do good, evil is always present? Am I the only one who I'm doing good for a while, but then all of a sudden the very thing that I know I should not think and I should not do and I should not say, I end up saying it? Listen, am I the only one that's got some people in my life who know how to push my button and make me say, God, I've missed it again? Somebody in your life knows how to push your button and make you say something that you promised you wouldn't say anymore. Am I the only one who got some folk in your life who know where your nerves are? And they go and step and stomp right on your nerve. Oh, baby, that's it. You done hit my last one. Now I got to give you a piece of my mind and put you in your place. What this verse is, when he says, what this says, he shall not forsake the works of his hands. It means after you know, you say you're not going to do it, but you do something wrong, and then you start doing good a while, and then something else comes and make you do something that you know you said you're not going to do. Well, God is not like people. There are people in our lives who want to forsake us and will forsake us. You know what? I've had enough of you. I'm done. But God says, I won't do you like that. If you confess your sins, I'll be faithful and I'll be just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He shall not forsake the works of his hand. Here's another illustration. You need to get this. How many of you started a project? You started working on something. It was something mechanical or something you were trying to put together or something that you were trying to do, any kind of project. You started on something. You started on some good work. Maybe it was a good book, godly Christian book, and you were getting some revelation out of it. You started working, but you didn't complete it. Anybody ever done that? Uh-huh. See, that's forsaking the works of your, I started off doing right. I started off working, doing this good project, but then I say, you know what, I'm done. I ain't got time to do it no more. What God is saying here is this good work that I started in you, I won't ever forsake it and say, you know what? She's hopeless. He's hopeless. Now, this one is no good and it just ain't going to work right. I'm not going to keep fooling with this one. And see, some of us, we have this hellish spirit of hell in us. Oh, you didn't hear me. I'm going to tell you what that means. We have this spirit of hell in us, this spirit of judgment in us, this spirit, and the reason why we call it the spirit of hell, because Jesus was talking to James and John, and they said, Lord, there's some guys over here doing some work, and they're not a part of you, and they're using your name, but they ain't walking with you. Do you want us to go over there and call down fire from heaven and burn these suckers up? And Jesus said, no, you don't know what spirit you're of. Jesus' disciples wanted to burn some folk up. That's why I say that hellish spirit. He didn't say, this is my spirit. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of doing, talking like this. Wanting to burn folk up. And some of us are like that. We think We project on God our feelings because we've gotten sick of certain people. And if it was up to us, some folk would be in hell burning right now. You know what? I do not pass. Go. Don't collect 200. Go straight to hell. You know somebody that you done sent to hell. You done let it come out your mouth. Go to. And you meant it. Not go to jail. Yes. But God said, you know what? I will never forsake the works of my hands. What if my ways get crooked and I start doing stuff wrong? You got to remember he gave us an illustration. He says, I am the potter. You are the clay. And he'll get us on that potter's wheel, and he will turn us and shape us and all of that. And then when some flaws start showing up, say, here, break it all down again and start working on it again. But the one thing he won't ever do is let go of the wheel and say, you know what, I'm done with it. He's going to keep on working on you and keep on shaping me until I'm conformed to the image of Christ. And people, when they see me, they're going to see Christ. And the Bible says God will continue this work until the Lord Jesus comes back and get his prize possession. What he has saved you for, God redeemed you, and Jesus is coming back to get you, and he's going to keep working on you until the very day he comes and gets his possession. He shall not forsake the works of his hands. We confess this because we believe that people are pressing their way from the north, the south, the east, and the west to get into this church to praise the Lord. Amen. This is what we're expecting God to do, to send people from the north, the south, the east, and the west to get into this church to do two things. Number one, to praise the Lord and to get instructions on how to live when we go out there. Come in here and praise the Lord and let him inhabit our praises and let him fill us up and build us up on our most holy faith. And then we sit and listen and get instructions, and we know how to deal with those cars when somebody's behind us all on our tail, or somebody cut us off. We don't give finger signs. We don't curse them in our car. We don't go off on them. When we get to the restaurant, we give good tips. We ain't always being so demanding of the waitresses. Honey, I think I've told you this before. If I haven't, let me tell you. Do not be so dumb as to fuss and act nasty with folk who got to carry your food and bring it back to you. Oh, no, baby. I treat them real good. Let them know up front I got a good tip for you today. But I'm not about to be nasty with them and let them take my plate back and tell, look, you take this back. You got it all wrong. Rolling my head and all of that, honey. You have lost your mind. You fool around and eat garbage. Come on, and you know you don't pray over your food. Oh, come on. I know you want to act like you pray over your food all the time. Some of you do. Some of us finally got there. Hello? But some of us, sometimes we're so hungry, we go right, start the chowing. Talking about, instead of, Lord, bless this food we're about to receive for the nourishment. Now, Lord, bless this food I'm receiving. I'm eating right now. Come on now. Some of you don't bless it until it's over. Thank you for the food I just received. Lord, please don't let it kill me for... Anybody? I can't get number one witness. Can I get a witness in this house? Hello? I ain't the only one who blessed my food when it was over. Take them away, otherwise I'm going to keep them. I'll be doing all three. So we're believing God that we come in here and we praise the Lord and we come to hear his holy word. And get instructions on how to live. Get instructions on how to treat our husbands and how to treat our wives and how to treat our children. And let me say this while it's on my mind. Parents, especially if you are a parent of young children, please learn how to treat your children. They are little people. And they have dignity. And because some of us as parents, we mess our children up. And they grow up messed up and they are terrors to to society. They are menaces to society because we mess them up. And I'm saying to you parents, you young parents, you don't have to make the same mistakes some of us made. If you do something wrong, apologize to your children. For God's sake, for Jesus' sake, and for their sake, admit when you're wrong. And see, we're not just to raise our children, we're to train them and train them and raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Look, you're to instruct them and train them. To instruct them is to tell them what to do. To train them is to show them how to do it. And they have dignity. Don't call them out of their names and treat them bad when they're acting out, when they're acting up. You need to do what the Lord say. Do not spare that rod. Put it on them. The Bible says, he that loveth his son will whip him many times. And I know we're living in a world where all the children got ADHD, ADD, MFG, MOL, MNOP, all of that. But listen. I'm telling you, some of that, yes, some of us need some medicine. Hear me? Some of us need some medicine. But some of us also, all of them need that belt. All of them need that. I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've had parents bring their children to me because they get to school, they act a fool, won't sit down, and they bring them to me. And I'm that kind of pastor that, yes, I will be a father to those whose father is not in their home. And they bring them to me, and I put that belt on them right in front of mama. And I tell them, you respect your mother. And listen at this. Now, it's funny, they get to school and can't sit down, but then they get here and they know how all of a sudden the ADHD, all of it, subject itself to the belt of God that's in my hand. And that same boy who won't sit down at school comes to church, and all I got to do is say, boy, sit down. I ain't even hit him yet. I just, boys, you've heard me. There have been some babies in here crying, but they 1 or 2 years old. I say, baby, shut up. Call their name. Turn to mama. Oh, y'all didn't hear that? And no, I don't abuse them. I don't slap them in their face. You shouldn't do that. I don't kick them. You shouldn't do that. God has made enough padding back there that they can take it. Hello? I'm not talking about whoop them for everything, but you do have to put that rod on them, and you have to do it lovingly. And explain to them why you're doing this, all of this stuff about, oh, because I told you so. No, go and tell them why. That's instructions. And then that's training. Show them and tell them what they're supposed to do. And then you live that in front of them. So I heard someone say also, you better know and remember how you treat them when they're young, because they might be the one who got to take care of you when you get old. And when you can't raise that hand like you used to, and you can't abuse them anymore, and they got to take care of you. If God is not merciful, 1 or 2 things going to happen. Either they're going to forsake you, and they're going to put you away, and ain't going to come see you at all. Or they will reluctantly take care of you, but beat you. And misuse you. Saints, y'all don't know what's happening? See, that's why we get into this church to praise the Lord and to hear his holy word, his holy instructions to us. Oh, man. Whew. That's what we come for. Be prepared to receive instructions. Be prepared that the enemy is going to try to take and steal everything that you've heard. It is not unusual, saints, that as soon as you get out of church, you might have to put into practice what you just heard. So you have to take that word and hide it in your heart so that you might not sin against him. There's so much more that we can talk about. I sense the Spirit saying, that's enough. That's enough. Did anybody get anything out of that? Because we can talk all day, and after a while, the minister has to know.